From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. You can also watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It is brought to you by White Claw Vodka Soda as we are tracking the PGA Championships here. It's been a lot of fun these first 2 days out at Oak Hill. Mike Gilligan is out at Ziegfeld Troy. And he is on site for the 15th annual CDGA Golf Marathon. And we just had some action there on that third green, didn't we, Mike?
We certainly did. Just a moment ago at the $1 million Split the Pot Hole-in-One Challenge presented by our friends at Republic Bank, Kevin Gratowski, who, by the way, raised the most money. He himself raised $26,000. In his effort to help us fundraise today, he knocked it 12 inches from the hole. We were a foot away from absolute bedlam here.
So give me a little play-by-play. Like, is he rolling it past the hole? What happened there?
No, he landed it about, he hit a 7-iron about, 8 feet from the hole, and it just sort of released and finished just, it just needed to go another 12 inches. And
wow. That's it. So. Unbelievable. Again, horseshoes and hand grenades, right? It only counts there.
But that's exactly right.
So he won't be walking away with the $1 million, but he has raised a lot of money for a great cause. You said you were closing in on $84,000 of your $90,000 goal. So great stuff that you and the rest of the CDGA are doing right now.
Well, thank you. And it's funny. I've never seen somebody walk off a green with a kicking birdie and not happy about it.
Oh, man. 312-332-3776. By the way, if you want to donate to the CDGA Foundation for the Golf Marathon, CDGA.org. The proceeds support the CDGA outreach programs, which utilize golf to enhance the lives of individuals with special needs, veterans, and youth. So a fantastic cause right there. So CDGA.org, the place to go if you would like to donate. Mike's on site out at Ziegfeld Troy. I'm in the old National Bank studios here on State Street as we're talking PGA Championship with you. James Colgan from golf.com will join us coming up at 9:30 live from Oak Hill. So looking forward to his perspective on everything that he's seen take place out at the PGA so far. You know, you look at this leaderboard that we've got right now, Mike, and the cream of the crop isn't going off for another 4.5 hours or so in terms of the top 10 guys on this leaderboard here. But I do want to ask you about for tomorrow, what is your ideal final pairing? Because there's so many different combinations that I think could brew up something really special. Now, I think it does have to feature one thing and one thing only. It has to have a LIV versus PGA final pair if you want to see something with the most drama. Or I think if you also saw a LIV versus LIV final pair, it would be intriguing as well. But I think there's only one pairing that I would want to see. And it is, of course, the old rivalry of Bryson versus Brooks in that final pairing. We know how that showdown can cause some fireworks at times. Both of those guys currently in the top six right now. But for you, what is your, if Mike Gilligan was playing puppeteer right now, if you're going for the most eyeballs on the screen, what's your final pairing for Sunday that you want to see?
Well, I mean, you took the one with the two LIV players for sure, just based on their personal history between Brooks and Bryson. But, you know, if Rory could have a heck of a day, I would love to see Rory and either Bryson or Rory and Brooks. But if DJ could get in it, but Rory with one of those LIV players. Because I think, honestly, given where we are in the landscape of what has all fallen out, this might be Rory's ability to kind of bury the hatchet a little bit and say, hey, they're going to be around, but let's play. And I think it would go a long, long way in helping whatever LIV player got paired with them, making them the United States Ryder Cup team.
You know, it's funny you bring up Rory, because that's where exactly where I was going to. And I think Rory Brooks is probably the matchup that I would want to see most in a final pairing. But Rory, in his pre-tournament press conference, was pretty silent on the matters of LIV. And I think he kind of knows, listen, I can't really talk. I missed the cut at the Masters while LIV stole the show, even though LIV didn't end up winning the tournament. They stole the show. They brought the ratings. And I think Rory sort of looks at it right now as, I've got nothing I can really say because I didn't back it up at our first major of the year. So I've got to go out and perform. And right now, he's in a tie for 10th. But yeah, I'm going Rory versus Brooks. I think that would be a really, really dramatic close. But again, Rory would have to do a little bit of work here to get into that final pairing right now, as he's currently in a tie for 10th right now. So he has to work his way up that leaderboard a little bit more if he does want to see that final pairing like that.
Absolutely. And the other one that I would like to see potentially, if you remove any of the LIV players out of the equation now, I think a Corey Connors-Victor Hovland pairing might be interesting, an all-international Canada and Norway. I mean, you know, two countries you'd expect a hockey game and a ski event yep. to break out, and these guys are taming one of the toughest venues in all of golf. But they're both exciting players, and, you know, Victor especially. If there's a guy I would really like to see win just because he's such a good guy, it's Victor.
Right. I mean, you look at, I mean, he's been that way since college when he was at Oklahoma State. There's the hilarious video of him. There was a Victor Hovland bobblehead, and they had like a bunch of Victor Hovland bobbleheads all nodding, like they're bobbling their heads up and down. And then they flash the camera to Victor, and he's impersonating the bobbleheads nodding up and down. It's a great video. But like, that's just the character, the personality of a guy like him. And he's been one of those guys. We talked last week about who could be the guy that we see win their first major this year. He's knocking on the door right now. Now, he's going toe-to-toe with Scottie Scheffler. That's going to be a really tough guy to hold off. And I do have a Scottie point I want to bring up with you in just a second here. But I think that, like, seeing Victor in one of those final pairings as well against either Brooks or Bryson, like, I know you brought up Corey Connors' name there. I think it would be cool to see him against Brooks or Bryson as well, because you're talking about this new age of golf, right? You've got LIV and then the next up-and-coming guy who's looking for their first major.
No doubt. And, you know, Victor's got a new age swing. And I think Victor, if he was able to slay, you know, a Scottie or a Brooks, not only would it validate a championship, but it would validate him as an elite player. And I think if he were to win the PGA Championship at Oak Hill, you're going to see some other majors won by that young man for sure.
Right. Once you get that first one under your belt, it makes the rest of your major escapades a little bit easier here. And one of those guys who certainly showed that exact thing, I think, is Scottie Scheffler. And what he did last year, we saw him with 4 wins on the tour, including the Masters. And then this year comes around, he wins the Players, he defends his championship at the Waste Management as well. It's really something where Scottie Scheffler is. Just 26 years old, one of the hottest young things in golf right now. And Scott, it's kind of been Scottie and John Rahm this year going back and forth with picking up victories along the tour. But right now, who do you feel like is playing better golf? Is it Scottie or is it John Rahm? And Scottie right now tied for the lead. John Rahm struggled a little bit on day one, but really powered his way back on day two to make the cut. Scottie, in all likelihood, going to finish much higher on the leaderboard than John Rahm is here at the PGAs, but these are the two most intriguing guys going right now in the sport.
And there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the thing that Scottie is doing and is doing well, his swing is a lot steeper than most. And when you are in that rough at Oak Hill playing in major championships, you look at the, you know, the great players that have won in majors. Jack Nicklaus, he was a pretty upright guy, as is Scotty. So the descent down to the ball in the rough, he's able to launch that thing and get it up and out versus a flattened out, sort of a shallowed out swing, is you're going to have all kinds of problems trying to get it out of that deep stuff. And so Bryson DeChambeau is another guy with a very upright motion. So it's not, you know, it doesn't surprise me in the least to see these two guys right up there. And Victor himself has another that both he and Scotty both kind of come down and get that club face square through the ball and then move it over. They get their left hip and everything right out of the way in a hurry. So I think that their swing is what we're calling kind of new age, if you will. And it's performing well here at the major and with the rough and the conditions being what they are.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what these guys have done so far this season, too. Like, John Rahm has set the record for most earnings in a PGA Tour season. And again, that all sort of comes with an asterisk because the purses are so much larger now. But he's at $14 million, about $14.5 million so far. Scotty's at about $12.9 right now. Scotty's got 9 top 10s. Rahm's got 8 top 10s. 4 wins for Rahm, 2 wins for Scotty. Like, these two guys going back and forth, back and forth. I don't want to say it's going to be the new Tiger Phil, because I don't think we're going to see a Tiger Phil like we used to see. But this is the new iteration. Like, they always talk about in football, Brady versus Manning. And now you've got the new age with Mahomes versus Burrow. I think you may have something of that ilk right now in Scotty versus Rahm, two young guys, 26 years old and 28 years old, who are going to be going head-to-head for a long time here, it looks like.
Yeah, I think they are. And we have this major championship, then we have the U.S. Open and the British. But it would be fantastic to see these two guys paired against one another in the final match of the Ryder Cup in Rome Sunday. And that could happen, because they are the two big dogs. They are the two big horses for both of the captains, and it wouldn't surprise me that they put their anchors right in the back.
No doubt about that. It would be fascinating. If you've got a thought on Scotty versus Rahm, you want to give us, what is your ideal final pairing for the PGA Championship on Sunday out at Oak Hill? We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. James Colgan will join us a little over 15 minutes from now at 9:30 from golf.com. But coming up next, Tom Kim had a day out there on the course and he's going to have a pretty hefty laundry bill coming out of it as well. We'll talk about all of that and maybe some other course mishaps that we've experienced in our lives as well. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you as we do every Saturday right here on ESPN 1000, 8 to 10 a.m. If you miss anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast, the CDGA Golf Show. In about 10 minutes, we will talk with James Colgan from golf.com. He is boots on the ground out at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York right now. We'll get all of his perspective coming up on the PGA Championships and what he's seen so far today. But Mike, we did have a bit of a course disaster for Tom Kim as he got lost in the mud and went to go wash off in a creek yesterday, or this was actually rather on Thursday at the PGA Championships. But Tom Kim found himself in a bit of a messy situation. Listen, the rain, the elements, everything can can make stuff kind of go haywire at times, but he was walking to try to... He just got covered in mud and then went into the creek to try to rinse himself off, and I guess that's just golf here in 2023 now. But Tom Kim kind of stealing the show as he went viral with his mud bath, kind of looking like Shrek, right? Gets, gets out of the marsh there with all the mud he's covered in and cleans himself off in the creek right there.
Yeah, he went in as Mr. Clean, but he came out, you know, a mud ball. And really what happened was he was trying to locate his ball. He thought he could. And then he realized when he took the first step, he thought the ground was a lot harder, and obviously it wasn't. And as it turned out, he never did get his ball. But then he lost his balance, and, well, the rest of it's kind of history. So he brings new meaning to the term mudder. but at the same time, you know, it's one of the biggest fears, quite honestly, that I have. Anytime you get near, you know, railroad ties or an elevated, you know, green or a land that has an abrupt drop, because, you know, you inadvertently back up, you could just fall right in. And I've seen it happen. And in fact, in high school, we played Proviso West. I played at Glenbard West, and we played at Fresh Meadows, and it was a cold fall day. And a guy hit his shot out of just right on the embankment of the pond, and as he tried to climb out, he slipped and he fell backwards. Oof. In. I mean, he did a complete nesty iced tea plunge into the lake, and it was a fall cold day, and he had to finish sopping wet, and it was miserable. But he was, as Tom mentioned in his interview, he was the butt end of a ton of jokes that day and at the conference meet, and then the next year when we played him again. But, yeah, but at least he was a good sport about it. And I'll tell you what, he had the presence of mind to rinse off in Allen's Creek. And let me tell you, folks, Allen's Creek is a tributary from Lake Ontario. That water had to be a smooth 38 degrees. Oof. I mean, it had to be cold.
That's a cold bath. And again, with the conditions that like they were out there, it wasn't like it was the sun was out, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily shining as hard as it could. I have actually had something similar to this happen to me. You get like spring golf. This was out when I was in Syracuse. So it was probably around this time in Syracuse, upstate New York, and I'm walking, and they had not marked off where there was some work being done on the course, and there was like one of those like almost the bubbles that you'll sometimes get on the grass where it's super super soft, so soft it's like a thin layer of ice practically is what you feel like you're walking on, and I'm walking through, and I take a step and boom, it's like quicksand. My ankle just drops through, absolutely ruined my shoe that I was wearing out on the course that day. But you walk into one of those like quicksand mud baths right there, and it is not fun. It is not easy to clean off either.
No, and you know, anytime you're faced in that situation, there gets to be that point where you just have to accept the fact that I'm going down.
Yep. Right.
And you just got to make the most of it and try to, you know, minimize the damage as best you possibly can. And actually, Tom Kim came out of it a lot better after he washed off. And yeah, but it was just another entertaining moment at a major championship. You never know what you'll see.
And it was funny, too. Like he was, like you mentioned, he was a great sport about it. He saw the video after his round and saw that he was going viral, and he was having a good laugh about it as well. But Tom Kim, that was one of the funny moments of the first day at the PGAs, and it just kind of caught everyone off guard, caught Tom Kim off guard, that he had to sort of wash off, and washing off on the course, like you hear all the time about some of the disasters, the turf disasters, or like the course disasters that you may have. And you can't win against nature sometimes, and Tom Kim certainly found that out the messy way.
He certainly did. And, you know, I think it was just refreshing to see that these guys can at times be normal just like us and have freak things happen just like us. And but it was just a very entertaining moment, and one that will be among the real or the highlights when we look back at this championship? That highlight will somehow be interwoven into the full, you know, summary and story of this specific 105th PGA Championship.
That to me is, I hope we see that in the next season of Full Swing. That would be a nice little addition there. Maybe Tom Kim's been followed as part of Full Swing. Who knows? We'll find out in, I don't know when the next season's coming out, but I do know it was renewed. So looking forward to all of that. All right, when we come back, James Colgan from golf.com will join us live from the PGA Championships out at Oak Hill. We'll get his perspective of what he's seen so far and what's most intriguing to him as we wind down into the final two rounds here in the PGA Championship. This segment is brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Beautiful Saturday morning in the city of Chicago. Things getting a little drizzly out at Oak Hill up in Rochester, New York. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Mike Gilligan out at Ziegfeld Troy. Tyler Aki in the State Street Studios talking golf with you. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline where we find golf.com writer James Colgan, kind enough to join us here on this Saturday morning live from Rochester, New York, site of the PGA Championships. Good morning, James. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Tyler. Great to hear from you. Although I'm growing a little worried that that I might be dealing with the roof caving in here on the PGA Championship Media Center with the way it is raining right now. It sounds like the volume has been turned up to a max here. It's a pretty wild thing.
Oh boy! Oh, so do you think we may be in for a delay later on today?
I'm hoping not, but if it keeps raining like this, it's going to be very hard to avoid. It is absolutely pouring, and it looks like most of the guys on the course right now are just kind of throwing caution to the wind as they go about it too. Because I'm seeing a bunch of guys just walking around in their polos, not even worrying about the rain jacket. I mean, Tyler, you know as well as I do, when it rains up here in upstate New York, it really rains, and that's what we're getting today, it looks like.
James, I happened to spend a couple of years up in Rochester myself doing the 95 Ryder Cup up that way, and I'm quite familiar with the type of weather that's coming in today. But let me ask you this. Has it deterred any of the spectators from coming, and what's the community vibe like this week walking around town?
Oh, man, Mike, I'll tell you, it has not deterred anyone from being on the grounds this morning. I think I'm actually willing to say these people are a little bit more hardened than I am when it comes to golf weather, because I'm not sure I would be out there right now, but they are out in full force. Umbrellas are basically all over the fairways and greens, and the vibe around this tournament has been awesome all week. I will say I was kind of curious to see what the upstate New York golf crowd would bring, just considering how short the playing season is up here. But walking around, I mean, these people know their golf and they love their golf. They are so pumped to have a major championship here. And it's been really a pretty awesome venue for a major championship, not only because the golf course has been tremendous, but also because the fans and the people all around this tournament have been so pumped to just be a part of it all.
James Colgan from golf.com, our guest here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So, James, as you look at this leaderboard, what sticks out most to you? A couple of live guys hovering around the top. You got Corey Connors there as well. But what's standing out to you as you look at the top 10?
Well, the name that I picked at the beginning of this week for our golf.com little betting picks was Victor Hovland. I thought he's played really well at a bunch of majors leading into this week. I think we've seen a lot of growth in his game over these last few months. And I had a feeling that Victor was just going to respond well, being such a great ball striker, to what is truly a ball striker's golf course. And right now, that has certainly been the case. He's tied for the lead heading into Saturday here. But he's first in the field in strokes gained tee to green, first in the field in strokes gained approach, and first in the field in proximity to the hole on his approach shot. So when you consider those three stats, those are pretty important things if you're going to contend in a major. And I've been very impressed by him. Obviously, any conversation about a major leaderboard wouldn't be complete without Scottie Scheffler these days. His worst finish in the last 5 months is T12. So it's no surprise to see him kind of lingering around the top of the leaderboard. He's also tied for the lead. And I would not be surprised in the slightest if he is the lone man atop the leaderboard when today is through. Further down, Bryson and Brooks are paired together today, which is kind of a fascinating enemies turn friends moment for the two of them. So I'm excited to watch that pairing. And then even further down the leaderboard, you've got Rory McIlroy, who made a little bit of a charge yesterday to find his way back to even par. He said after the round something to the effect of, "I can't believe I'm only 5 strokes back," which was I felt like kind of a telling a telling moment for how the week has gone for him so far. I don't think he's played at the level that he was hoping to, but he's still very much in the mix come Saturday afternoon.
James, you know, that's almost like a warning to the rest of the field when Rory makes that comment. But you mentioned that I think it's the pairing of the day, Bryson and Brooks together, for all the reasons you just alluded to. But tell me, what's the vibe of the spectators with the LIV players this week up there? And are they getting the love that we're kind of feeling it on TV?
Well, it's been interesting. I think there was a lot of conversation in the lead-in to the Masters of how Augusta National would handle the LIV PGA Tour fracture. That conversation has frankly been significantly quieter at the PGA Championship. I don't think that these golf fans particularly care very much about the LIV aspect of it all. I don't think that, you know, it's not to say that they're unaware of it, because I think they're very aware of it. I think everyone's aware of it. But I think the fans have kind of realized, like, this tournament is not really about LIV or about the PGA Tour. It's, you know, it's about the PGA of America. It's about it being a major championship in their home city. And so that's why I think we've seen the fans respond the way that they do. I think also another thing to consider is, by and far, the guys that LIV targeted throughout the recruiting process of the last 12 months have been the players that, you know, were household names to fans, but maybe not necessarily performing to that degree. And when you consider who people will want to speak to and will want to see at a golf tournament, it's the household names. Those are the guys that they want to interact with. So it's not particularly shocking to see the way that the fans have reacted, but it is striking considering, I think, just generally speaking, as a golf world, we were expecting a slightly more contentious major championship season for the LIV guys, and that, to this point, just hasn't really materialized.
So with Bryson and Brooks specifically, do you think, you know, given I know they had their issues between the two of them, but today could be a significant day. They could actually help each other and help each other go up that leaderboard, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. One of the most interesting things that I think about Brooks's recent stretch of good play is that he's been paired a lot with guys who are good matches for him stylistically. I think something we've seen with Brooks, you know, over time, is that he plays really well with guys who are similarly fast golfers, similarly efficient players, and who, you know, can kind of make things work. He can maybe ham and egg with throughout the round. Something that's very interesting is Bryson DeChambeau is not that style of golfer. He's a slower player. He likes to take his time. He's very deliberate in his approach to the way that he lines up shots and, you know, all of that. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, today particularly, both of them, Bryson's 2 strokes back, Brooks is 3 strokes back to the lead. The two of them need to mount a little bit of a charge here to find themselves, you know, in reasonable contention come Sunday. And yeah, if one of them plays well and the other one plays poorly, it could lead to some friction between the two of them. But if both of them are playing well, it would not surprise me to see the two of them kind of being maybe buddy-buddy a little bit, because, you know, they've said it in recent months that they speak a lot more frequently now. They interact a lot more frequently now. Now, I don't know if I would go as far as to call them friends, but I think it's kind of an interesting undercurrent, considering it was 2 years ago at this tournament, really, that this feud between the two of them first started. So when you look back at the history of the PGA, that's also the history of this Bryson and Brooks feud. Now we get them paired together on Saturday at the PGA at a major championship. It's going to be interesting to watch at the very least.
James Colgan from golf.com, our guest on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So, James, speaking of Bryson here, you've done a lot of reporting. A very slimmed down Bryson, right? Lost 18 pounds in 24 days. A miraculous thing right there in and of itself. But what's been more impressive or maybe more shocking to you, Bryson's physique or his performance? Because he was cut at the Masters in the first major this year.
His performance, or let me restate that. His physique is shocking to look at if you know him. And especially if, like me, you've been around him for these last few years. But his performance this week has been downright astonishing. He has played unbelievably well, and in a style of golf that we really haven't seen from him at really any point in his professional career. He has always sprayed the driver, and this week he's been extremely accurate. He's found a ton of fairways, and he's still hitting the ball a mile. Of course, you know, it's interesting to see him in, you know, much more toned, maybe I called him chiseled in the story I wrote about him the other day. It's interesting to see him looking like that, but particularly considering the way that he's played over these last 12 to 18 months. I mean, it has been a brutal stretch for him. He was, you know, T56 at the U.S. Open last year, miscut at the Masters in April just a month ago. His game hasn't looked particularly great on LIV either. He had a top 10 finish last week, and, you know, in talking with him, talking with some members of his team, it seems like at that LIV event in Tulsa, he had some sort of breakthrough with his swing that gave him a sense of confidence standing over the ball. And then when he got here for the PGA, I think he compounded that with a few other good changes. And so, you know, so many of these things with golfers is just about kind of stacking together a lot of good breaks and a lot of good developments. And for a long time, the breaks were going the other way for Bryson. But it seems like after, you know, maybe a 4 or 5 month stretch of struggling, he's kind of made the turn for the better. Personally, I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by it. I think he's one of the most interesting players in golf when he's playing well. And, you know, even this week, he's looked like a totally different version of himself. But even that's kind of fascinating. So I've enjoyed watching it. But it is shocking to see him near the top of the leaderboard, and especially considering, you know, all the things that we've kind of seen from him in these last 12, 18 months.
James, Mike and I were having the discussion earlier of who is CBS rooting for to be that final pairing on Sunday. In your eyes, who is CBS rooting for?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would think that they're rooting for one member of the PGA Tour contingent and one member of the LIV contingent. I think that formula worked pretty well when it came to Augusta National at the Masters, where we just saw record ratings. And I think that formula would work pretty well here today. I think if we're picking guys, I think it would be Bryson, because he's just such a lightning rod figure. I think he would just be such a fascinating player to find himself in the final grouping. And, I mean, a pie-in-the-sky pick would be Rory today, because, I mean, just to see him make that charge and have the chance to claim a major for the first time in, you know, almost a decade, I mean, that would be the dream scenario for CBS. I think a far more realistic one is they'll wind up with Bryson and Scotty and be very, very happy about it come tomorrow morning.
So, James, Oak Hill, the East Course, it's showing so amazing on television. I've got a question for you. What would an 18 handicap shoot out there, given the USGA rules of golf?
Well, I'm about a 10 handicap, or closer to a 12 handicap right now, and I don't think I'm breaking 100 out here. The fairways are unbelievably narrow. The greens are small. The rough is brutal. The bunkers are just terrifying to look at. I mean, everything about this golf course is set up to be a true championship golf test. And especially for a player like me who is long and wrong off the tee, I don't think that I would find this to be a very friendly ballpark for my golf game. But that being said, I mean, I think one of the most interesting things about this tournament week, and speaking with a ton of players, the praise of this golf course has been effusive. I've heard from a few players, including Phil Mickelson yesterday, who said, you know, this is one of the best major championship courses and setups that he's ever played. That is not praise you hear often about a golf course that's playing as tough as Oak Hill has been playing this week. But I think it speaks volumes about where this golf course is, and just generally about the perception of it amongst the players. I think everyone feels that this is a fair test of golf. And something we always hear about with the U.S. Open, which is always golf's toughest test, is that a lot of players sometimes feel like it's an unfairly tough test. That has not been the case this week at Oak Hill. And I don't think it's going to be the case today either, because with the course getting much slower and much softer in the rain, I think it could be a lot harder for the guys who aren't bombing at 330 off the tee to put themselves in position to score.
James Colgan from Golf.com with us for another minute here on the CDGA Golf Show. James, no Tiger Woods at this event. What's the no Tiger vibe been like for the fans out there, as well as, I mean, because this is probably going to be sort of the new reality moving forward. Tiger, you can probably count on one hand how many more majors he's really got left in him.
Yeah, the vibe, I mean, I think the easiest answer is yesterday's, we got the Thursday ratings from ESPN from the first round coverage of this tournament, and they were down by almost 500,000 viewers, from 1.5 million viewers to 1.1 million viewers. Year over year, from Tiger's return at Southern Hills last year to this year without Tiger. And I think, you know, while there are some other factors that are maybe, you know, playing into that to some degree, I mean, Tiger Woods is probably worth, you know, about 30% of the golf viewing audience when he's playing, and especially when he's, you know, looking like he's rounding into major championship form. I think the vibe around the golf course has been subdued to a certain extent about Tiger. I think people, you know, wish they could see him here, especially this is not a city that sees a lot of professional golf. And so to have a major here and not have Tiger here, I think is, you know, it's a bummer for some of the fans. But at the same time, you know, like you said, Tyler, this is, you know, this is a new reality for us. I think, you know, Tiger is dealing with a lot injury-wise, a lot health-wise. And it's not going to be the norm that we see him at all of the big tournaments in golf. It might not even be the norm that we see him at all of the majors. And so that is something that, you know, nobody really loves to deal with or is happy to be dealing with, but it's where we're at right now in golf.
James Colgan from Golf.com, appreciate the time, and stay dry out there in Rochester.
I will be rocking my rain jacket. If you see me on the broadcast today, know that I'll be bundled at the very least.
And don't go too crazy on the garbage plates either, all right?
Yeah, they have the garbage plates. Or the white hots.
Enjoy it, James. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much,
thanks,
guys.
James.
Appreciate it.
James Colgan, golf.com. You can find him on Twitter at JamesColgan26. He's got great insight there on all things golf, and especially at the PGA Championships. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. Maybe we got a few more people getting closer and closer to that ace on three, Mike. We'll get an update on that when we come back. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins and Sean Graney for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Mike is out at Ziegfeld Troy for the 15th annual CDGA Foundation Golf Marathon. Their goal is $90,000. We have an update on that number. We were creeping in on $84,000 last you told me, Mike.
Yep, and we're just over that now. So
all right.
People are calling, keep on donating. It's all for a great cause. And also, Tyler, we have a birthday here. Kayla Fahrenbach just celebrated a big birthday. And by celebrating, she just almost made a hole-in-one.
Oh.
Inches,
so
I
closer
tell you.
Than the other one.
Yes.
That was within 12 inches, you said.
Absolutely. But a big thank you to the guys out here at Ziegfeld Troy. And also congratulations to Tim Troy, who won the senior division on May 15th at Schaumburg Golf Club. He won the Illinois PGA stroke play. He fired a 2-under 70. And also, speaking of Ziegfeld Troy, the 42nd annual Ziegfeld Troy Open will be played Saturday and Sunday, June 24th and 5th. It's open to all golfers with a 24.4 or less handicap. Go to ZiegfeldTroyGolf.com to enter. And also a big thanks to our friends at Republic Bank for their support and the offer of the $1 million challenge today. And as I said, the goal is $90,000, and we're closing in on it. This week we have the Bolingbrook two-person scramble qualifier at Bolingbrook Golf Club. 16 twosomes will try to qualify for the finals of the Kemper Cup at Harborside and win trips to Sand Valley. And our member perk of the week, Fox Bend, twosome special, $80 with a cart, and that's Monday to Friday. Sunset Valley, you can get save $5 on an 18-hole cart rental, and White Deer has 18 holes for $59. That includes a cart. So, yeah, we're having a great day out here, and I would just remind everybody, as you're out playing today, fix an extra ball mark, and also thank your superintendent.
All right. And by the way, cdga.org, if you want to donate towards the CDGA Golf Marathon. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.